Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. Joining us on the line now is Lou Featherstone. She's an accidental middle-aged influencer dedicating to empowering women to find their confidence in midlife, step out of their comfort zone and see what the heck happens. The self-love revolution began after her divorce when she set about on an extraordinary journey to inspire to connect with as many women as she possibly could. Welcome to the show, Lou.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us. I was saying to the listeners earlier, when I look at your Instagram, it just makes me smile so much. It's just full of colour and energy and love and positivity. It's great.
Oh, thank you. It's some days it's hard work. I find Mondays hard work for yourself. It's so hard to get going. So listening to you read out what I do felt amazing. So thank you for reminding me. Even I struggle some days.
So tell us about this self-love revolution and how, when and why you started it.
Oh, well, I'd been living out in Portland in Oregon in the States for about 8.5 years. We'd gone out, my husband got offered an amazing job in Portland and my son was 10. And we had a great little life in Brighton, but it seemed a really good opportunity. So we decided to risk it all and go for our American dream. And I don't know, we just had such different journeys. I really found a power in my middle age and menopause and kind of found fitness and found amazing women. And American women are really uplifting and just, you know, really lift each other up. And I don't know, I just found a power in my middle age and just started to really question what was happening and where bits of me had gone that I'd lost along the way. And so I ended up from my husband moving into the spare room, which was a bit wild during lockdown and also in mid-menopause. And I started sharing my real journey online, just being really me and being honest about how hard it was or how great it was and all of those things, maybe sometimes even in one day. And the more I was sort of honest and was myself, more women started coming to follow me. And I was like, this is wild. You know, people seem to like me just being me. And for years I've just been told I'm too much. I'm loud. I'm the loudest one in the room usually, or, you know, I'm up to mischief. And I've always just thought I was naughty. I don't know. So the more women who came to my door, the more women shared their journeys with me as well. And we all just, I could see everybody just felt the same, invisible and disconnected and lonely and like, oh my God, middle age. And so I decided to buy a bus and travel around the States and just try and connect women with each other. So I found an old bus, crowdfunded it, did it up, and then toured around the States throwing events. And then, as you do. And then after about 6,000 miles in 28 states, I got to New York and decided to move back to the UK and decided to bring the bus with me because it was so incredible and so powerful on the journey. And so I moved back about 2.5 years ago, and it's taken that really to kind of settle back into being in the UK, get the bus back, try and figure out what life looks like for me back here after divorce. But the mission has always been to get the bus on the road and take her out and do a tour around the UK, doing the same thing, throwing events, connecting women, you know, getting women to open up, share, be themselves, love themselves. So, yeah, here we are. I'm just in the middle of the tour right now.
Oh, amazing. And how have you found the response from women in the UK compared to women in America?
Oh, it's amazing. I think, I don't know, the US is so big. So I set off, I think I had about 66,000 followers when I set off, thinking, oh, I'm going to see so many people. But the US is so gigantic. Some places I'd have like, you know, 250 people come to an event, and other places there was 4. I would have been really panicked if I'd thrown a party and only 4 people would turn up. But after the tour, it's just sort of taught me to be a bit more sort of laid back. And I learned on the journey, it was one woman at a time. The events were amazing, but it was the women in need that came knocking on the door. And they'd see the bus and they'd Google me and they'd look at my Instagram. And from that, and me just being myself and putting myself out there online, help these women knock on the door and ask for help. And, you know, I'm talking women who were on the run from abusive relationships. I had a woman who'd been beat beaten up and was bleeding with a suitcase on the doorstep. She moved in with me until we could get her into a shelter. You know, I met the most incredible women on the road, and loads of women who'd also were just loving life on the road. They were choosing to live in their motorhomes and their RVs and stuff. But the response in the UK has just been amazing. I've got such an amazing community of women. It's, you know, people think Instagram isn't real, and I fight really hard to keep it real. So they've been with me through the tears, my mum dying, the tour across the States, moving home, like all the mistakes, you know, because I've made quite a lot of mistakes since I got back. It's really hard adjusting financially to life on your own, and moving back, like moving back cost a fortune. And I'm sure some of your, you know, some of you guys living out in Spain can, you know, it's expensive if you move back. And just readjusting, because, you know, life is so different. I just, you know, I hadn't given it much thought before we left, how different it would be. I just thought I was America, you know, just going to be like being in a movie. And it was a lot of the time. You know, and Americans have a very different attitude to life, whereas the Brits are, you know, they tend to be a bit more reserved and a bit more negative. So, like, you know, when I had the idea for the bus in America, I'm like, you know, if you sit in a bar in America or to your girlfriends in America, oh my God, I've seen this really old bus and I'm going to crowdfund it and drive it around preaching self-love and confidence. Americans are like, oh my God, that's a great idea. Oh my God, how can I help you? You know, but if you said that in the UK, people would say, well, have you seen the cost of fuel? I can tell you why that won't work. Have you seen the traffic on the M20? Why?
Yes.
I will say, my community have been nothing but supportive. Like, they're so amazing. You know, when the bus is out on the road, we have Spot Susie competitions, and, you know, people have followed my journey with her. So they're really excited to come and see her. Aww. And she's quite something. She's sort of 32 foot pink and green neon leopard print. So, you know, the idea I was wanted people to see me coming, and I certainly achieved that, if I've done nothing else.
People
remember the bus, for sure.
I mean, I think there's definitely something in women feeling part of a tribe and not feeling alone, and all the different things you've talked about, you know, whether it's struggling in relationships, struggling with the menopause, all these different things that a lot of women go through in midlife particularly. Yeah. It's so easy to feel on your own, even if you know that other women are going through it. Not all women are able to talk about it. So being encouraged to talk about it through you and your community is what so many women need, I think.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm not saying, you know, I'm prone to taking all my clothes off and running along the beach, or, you know, and that's not, of course, what I'm encouraging everybody to take their clothes off and run along the beach unless you feel like it. But I kind of, you know, if somebody looks at that and from that takes, gosh, she's brave, if she can do that, I can, you know, I can get out of bed today and try and be braver, or, you know, I'm going to dress up and wear something really nice and make myself feel good. And like, it's really small, teeny tiny things that make a difference to your day, right? And also your overall sort of mental health, I guess, especially in middle age, when we are all sort of like, it's such a huge adjustment. Like, there's all the hot flushes and all of that side of stuff, but the emotional stuff that comes with it is so hard to navigate for people. But like, that's why I love the internet, right? I mean, it's helped women particularly, I think, really find their voice. And you know, we've been able to find each other and go, oh my God, I'm not on my own. You know, and if I'm crying because I've had a shit day, but then I see, you know, as people look the next day and they're like, oh look, she's bucked up today, what's happening now? They're like really invested in my journey, and I get a lot of people thanking me for making myself so vulnerable. But as you know, it helps me just as much as it helps everybody else, to be fair.
I was just going to say, you're helping so many people, but I bet you're getting a lot from it yourself.
Oh my God, people are amazing. Like, I've been terrible asking for help. I mean, this is how I, you know, there's a lot of the reason why I ended up separating from my husband. I lost my ability to ask for what I need. I just couldn't do it. I was so busy trying to be strong and be this best mum and this great wife and do all these things. I just completely let myself down and sort of diminished myself to the point of no return, really. Because I let my husband, it wasn't nothing awful. My husband did, my now ex-husband, is more me, to be honest, just thinking I was doing the right thing all the time rather than just going, I really need this, you know, and just really simply asking for what I need. For some reason, which is wild to me now, because, you know, you can't, I don't shut up now. Now I found my voice. I literally, I can't stop talking. But now I found my voice. I'm so blown away that it took me so long. I just don't want another woman to have to ever feel like that, even if we just connected online or, you know, feel seen. I did a TED talk about my journey and the trip and the mission to empower women, and which was an incredible privilege. I got a standing ovation. I do like to throw that in as much as I possibly can.
Oh, definitely. Let people know that. Good for you.
Can you imagine me just trying to get a talk in 15 minutes? Let me tell you, it's very tricky. But it takes me over 15 minutes to answer one of your questions. But I've turned that into, I've turned it more into a bit of a show now. So it's sort of, I'm touring the show around. And it's, I take people on my journey in the hopes of just inspiring their journey. And it's really interesting as I'm telling my story from, you know, growing up as a vicar's daughter and, you know, living in quite a strict household, but an amazing community. And then, you know, being a bit of a slut for a few years and really enjoying that, and then marrying, getting married and trying to be a good wife, and how much I lost myself along the way. So I sort of take everybody on my journey, and there's so much in there that's relatable as I'm telling a story. I can watch people in the audience, all different ages and all, you know, sometimes men as well. I can see them nudging each other and like looking at each other and crying at different points. And I'm like, we're all so similar. And then at the end of the show, I get everybody up and dancing to I'm Every Woman, because I'm like, I'm not extraordinary. I am literally all of us. We are all going through similar stuff. Yeah. But like showing up as yourself is the most powerful thing you could do, because that helps other people. You know, when we're posting fake crap online and making it look like it's amazing, it's really doing everybody a disservice, because yes, there's days that's amazing, but lots of the time people are struggling. So I don't know, being real, quite a revelation.
People appreciate people who are real online, as you say. We see a lot of perfect pictures, perfectly airbrushed pictures, where nobody has any lines or nobody has any cellulite or any fat or things like that. And as women, we see so much of that. That's what beauty is. That's what perfection is. And most ordinary women go, wow, I'm never going to look like that. I'm never going to be able to achieve that. And that can be really hard for a lot of women.
Yeah, and that's how we start our day. Yeah. You know, we roll over in bed and scroll that shit and put it in our heads, and that's our first thoughts in the day. Or we turn on the news and then we're devastated by terrible, you know, news bombarded from every direction. And you're like, wow, how do I go about my life now today? You know, so I, you know, in my show, I do my top 10 tips for self-love. And you know, there's a huge bit in there about boundaries and telling people to, you know, no thanks. But also we need boundaries around who we follow online and what we let in. And I'm, you know, you can't turn your back on what's happening in the world. We just can't. But you know, there's ways to protect yourself. And also just don't follow somebody if they make you feel bad about yourself. You know, you wouldn't put up with that from a friend. So don't put up with it online, and just be really mindful who you follow. But do follow me, because I am a riot.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And tell us about your podcast.
Well, I did two seasons with Global, called The Self-Love Revolution. And they were based out of, the first season was all based out of my top 10 tips for self-love. So it's everything from how to have an orgasm before you die, to body confidence, to how to, you know, restyle your life and your wardrobe, and, you know, how to zhuzh things up in the wardrobe, because that's just, I use a lot of my style and fashion to sort of like just inspire people to be more daring. You know, in my show I talk about that we chase, you know, we buy these expensive dresses for like a wedding or a big party, and then we leave the £200 dress in a thing in the back of the wardrobe for another special occasion that may never come. So I try to encourage everyone to wear the damn outfit. You know, I am so overdressed at the supermarket because I'm just not prepared to go down not looking good. But also it cheers people up. Like, I have so many lovely conversations. You're never lonely in a good outfit. People always have a chat to you if you're wearing a good outfit.
Yeah, that's so nice.
But it's a good...
if you've lost your confidence, that's a or you're trying to sort of like figure out a new style, you know, clothes is a really good place to start because you can do that quite easily with what you've got and just try different ways of wearing it. Or yeah, so it's a good place to start. So I have quite a huge wardrobe which I take around and let women try, just get dressed up in.
Yeah. Oh, I love that, because so many women feel nervous about doing that. You know, it's all and the fashions are normally so bland, you know, wearing beige or black or white or so many shops. Sometimes I go in and have a look and there's no colour in there at all. It's like, oh, God, what are we doing?
I know. So it just gives women a chance just to go crazy and be silly and be free and be brave. Maybe just try something you wouldn't do. It's like it sounds such a small thing, but when you watch a bunch of women in the wardrobe just being so silly and like encouraging each other and getting wild and putting ridiculous things on that they might not normally wear, but just having fun, it sounds very simple, but it's so powerful to watch. And I was thinking recently, I was watching everybody in the wardrobe and it was such a fun afternoon and we were doing photo shoots, and I'm working with an underwear brand doing photo shoots in the bus with this underwear, and it's just watching women come to life and confidence while we're doing it is just so incredible. And I was thinking, what is it about the wardrobe? But I think it reminds us, it takes us back rather to a time when we were little girls and we didn't care what people thought before we got conditioned into worrying about what people thought and thinking we had rules to dress by and da 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 da. So this is just, you remember, was there a Wendy house at your school? Do you remember the Wendy house?
Oh, yes. I had one in my garden, actually. My granddad made me one. Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like the bus is some kind of like middle-aged Wendy house.
Yes. Oh, definitely. Love that. Well, I must give out your Instagram because people definitely need to follow that and have a smile. It's Lou in Luland, isn't it?
Yes, Luinluland. Brilliant. So buckle up. And if you are easily offended, I apologise. So I do a lot of swearing. I have to give myself a parental guidance warning these days.
Well, it's all part of expressing yourself and just letting it all go, isn't it, I guess?
Yeah, like I'm terribly sweary. And it's not, you know, I'm not for everyone. I've been Marmite since the day I was born and I'm kind of okay with that.
Yeah.
It's okay because of, you know, but hopefully it encourages other people to, you know, just be a bit braver.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, I love Marmite, so there you go.
There you go. Oh, good. I'm glad you're in the club.
Lou Featherstone, thank you so much for joining us. It's been really great to chat with you and keep up the great work.
Oh, thank you. Sorry you didn't get a word in edgeways.
No, it's perfect. Thank you, Lou. You take care.
Thanks for having me on.
Bye-bye.